This episode of the All For One podcast is sponsored by MyDiabetes.diet, a great way to get your weight and blood sugar under control. So stay tuned for an exclusive 75% discount offer for All For One listeners. Hello everyone, my name is Jamie Lowe and welcome to another episode of the All For One podcast. We've got a big show today with loads coming up, including advice from a life coach to the stars on achieving your blood sugar goals, what it's like to be a pro wrestler with type 1 diabetes. I'll also be speaking to one person who's had the vaccine and someone who can't wait to get it. They are going to be both on the panel today. So lots to talk about today. So let's get into it. Hello everyone, welcome back to the show and to another panel episode. Thank you to everyone who has been getting involved in supporting the channel and the podcast recently. I put out that episode where I told you about losing my job and all that sort of stuff, and you guys came out to support me, so thank you so much for that. If you did want to join the gang and support a bit more, all you have to do is leave a review for this podcast, 5 stars if you're feeling generous, or you can head to patreon.com/JamieLowTV and you can support me there for as little as £1 a month. Or if you fancy owning some of my own designs on some clothing, you can do. Look at this. This is a t-shirt that I designed. I'm greater than my highs and lows. More of that sort of stuff is in my Spreadshirt and Teespring shop. All the links will be in the description or the show notes below. So do check them out if you wanna have a bit of that. But let's introduce you to today's panel. We've got Noni Dougal, who is returning. She's warned me that she's got loads to say today. We're also joined by Di Stevens, or David Stevens. He's just across the water from me in God's own country, Wales. So welcome back to you both. And then joining us for the first time today is Robert Higginson, who is a big name in British pro wrestling and has agreed to come on the show today to talk about life as a pro wrestler living with type 1 diabetes for the very first time. And if you're under any illusion, I just wanted to show you how pro wrestling looks right here in the UK. Trust me, it's a big deal. Aiming fast tonight, so watch me bring the fire, set the night light. My shoes on, get up in the morning, cup of milk, let's rock and roll. Kick out, kick the drum, running on like a rolling stone. Sing song when I'm walking home, jump up to the top of LeBron. Ding dong, call me on my phone, nice tea and I'll get my ping pong. This is great. So Rob, it's great to have you on the show. Thank you so much for being here. So this is new for you, talking about type 1 diabetes publicly, isn't it?
Yeah, I've done like other podcasts before, like speaking about wrestling and whatnot, but I've never actually spoke about diabetes. No, so yeah, it's good to be on. Thank you for having me.
It's not a problem at all. So what's it like being a pro wrestler to begin with?
It's a lot of fun. So obviously I watched it as a kid and everything, and it was a dream of mine growing up. So to be able to like be doing it now is just a dream come true, really. I got into wrestling before I actually got diagnosed with diabetes. So it was a bit of a change, to be honest. But I seem to be able to control having both of them in my life. So.
Something pro wrestling, UK, British pro wrestling was something that my dad used to tell me about. I don't know if you, what was he called? Giant Haystacks or something like that? Golden age of British wrestling, and over the past few years, maybe the past 5 or 7 or something like that, there's been a massive resurgence, and it's become a real sort of a cult following, and loads of people are getting back into supporting British wrestling. So have you sort of seen that grow as you've been doing it?
Yeah, definitely. So I think a lot more promotions have started up, that's for one. And then with that, there's obviously came more work for wrestlers to perfect their work, really, in the ring. And then obviously with that, as it's portrayed into the crowds, because obviously better wrestling will draw better crowds. And, you know, I mean, it used to be, back when I started, a lot of American wrestlers would be brought over to try and get the crowd in to watch the shows. But in recent years, it's definitely been more of the Americans have been coming over to work with the UK wrestlers rather than to actually draw the crowd for us. So, yeah, the work from everyone, really, it's made it as big as it's got today.
And was it always something that you wanted to do?
Yeah, from as young as I can remember, really. I had all the like, little action figures and the video games. Not going to lie, it was something I didn't think I would be able to do in this country until I got into wrestling. I didn't really hear of many local shows or especially as many promotions as there is in the UK. So I thought originally I was going to have to move to America when I was old enough to. But I eventually found somewhere and the rest is history.
Can I ask something? Go ahead, Noni. With wrestling, so I've used to watch quite a lot of wrestling and I absolutely love it. It's great fun. But there's such a lot of literal gymnastics involved. There is such a lot of gymnastics. Did you have to really, are you very, very good at gymnastics? Seems to be a lot of somersaulting and fancy, real fancy jumping about. It is amazing. It is amazing.
So before I actually found a wrestling school, I would have been about 14, 15, 16. I got into trampolining and entered competitions throughout that because my mindset was I won't be able to start wrestling until I take myself to America and find a training school over there. And I wasn't old enough to do that, obviously, at the time. So I thought I'll set myself up to just get like the idea of having balance in the air and whatnot and being able to control the somersault, really. So I did trampolining to help me with the gymnastics side of it. And then I also did judo on the side as well to help with the more martial arts side of it. Just to prepare me for, so when I do eventually find a training school, I'd maybe be a little bit ahead of if I hadn't have done anything.
Definitely. It's
interesting you say that because I did trampolining too. And I did it right up until university. I actually tore a ligament in my left foot doing a double front somersault. So my trampolining definitely calmed down after that injury. But you mentioned that you were diagnosed as you were already sort of performing as a pro wrestler. So tell us about your diagnosis story and how that then affected this dream career that you finally found yourself in.
So I think I suffered with it for probably about a month before I actually got diagnosed. So I went through a stage of, I was obviously very, very thirsty all the time. And I'd go through a stage of, I knew something was wrong, but I was almost embarrassed to like say anything. So I'd be like hiding drinks. I'd get through like bottles and bottles of just, I'd just be able to drink it like it's not doing anything as I'm drinking it. And I knew something was up, but I don't know. I think because I was quite young, I was only, I think I was 16. So I didn't really know much about diabetes. But eventually I mentioned it to my mum and dad and whatnot, and they knew something wasn't right. So that's when I went to the doctors and obviously
and the rest is history. And you joined the Broken Pancreas Gang. And then how does that affect how you're, working? I mean, obviously during the pandemic, I'm sure it's all changed. We'll get onto that in a second. But when things were normal and you were able to, get in the ring of a weekend, how does that affect how you do it? Do you have to put in certain steps? Are people aware on the crew? And is your opponent aware that, you know, things might go a bit hypo-y if the situation falls in that direction?
Well, I normally always let the promoter of the show know, obviously, that I've got diabetes. But I was always advised from the clinic where I went to that it's always, because I'm not wrestling like every single day, it's better to have my blood sugar a little bit higher than normal because I'm obviously doing excessive exercise. I don't want it to drop where I'm having a hypo in the ring because obviously it, that could be very dangerous and whatnot, because it's not just my safety, it's the safety of the person I'm in the ring with as well. If I like drop them or something, it could cause catastrophic injury. So I always try and keep my blood sugar a little bit higher than every other day of the week. I've only had a hypo once on a show, and it was just before I actually went out, so they had to juggle the card around a little bit, because obviously I was in no condition to be going out. But I normally always eat a little bit before going out to the ring, and then I'll test my blood sugar and that when I come back through the curtain.
And then you mentioned that at least someone knows, but not everyone knows. Is it a bit of a concern that your opponent might think that you're going to be a bit of an easy target if you let them know that you've got this, what is essentially a vulnerability? I mean, you know, let's talk about it frankly. Diabetes isn't a benefit to much of our lives in a lot of ways. So is that a concern too?
No, I don't think so. It's not like... So it's not like boxing or MMA. It's more of a performance, shall we say. So it's like we kind of all work together. But definitely, I've had looks in like gyms and that. And like if I'm busting out like an injection in the locker room, I have been known to get a few looks, because obviously if I'm injecting, it could look like I'm doing steroids in the corner or something, especially like in that kind of environment. Where you know, a lot of people, and I think more people are coming round to, maybe they kind of know what diabetes is, but definitely when I first got diagnosed in wrestling, I definitely had some strange looks at times.
Well, there, that's good to hear. That's good to hear. And how have things changed? You know, people are, you know, getting more aware of type 1 diabetes, so that's great. But obviously, the industry is closed for probably most of a year now. So how's that going for you?
If I'm honest, I think my diabetes has suffered a little bit, because when I was wrestling every weekend, I think I was trying to stay in better shape. I was eating healthier, and I was trying to keep on top of my blood sugars more, because obviously I wanted to stay in relatively good shape. And then like since lockdown's come in, I've gone on to night shifts at another job I'm doing now. I work at Iceland, the supermarket, doing night shifts. So I think that's had a bit of it's a bit of an effect on my diabetes, to be honest, because my food has changed, like what times I'm being able to eat. And I'm definitely not being able to go to the gym. So it's a bit difficult to get used to, but I'm hoping as soon as everything comes back to normal, I can get back to it pretty quickly.
You and me both. My management of my diabetes has been on a whirlwind downward spiral for the past more than 12 months now, isn't it?
Yeah.
And I think that's what this episode's all about. So we've got someone like you, Rob, who's achieved a goal, a lifelong goal of becoming a pro wrestler. So how do we use those same techniques into helping the management of our condition? So I think what we can learn from Rob is that you've set and achieved a goal, and as a result of that goal, you became healthier and, you know, did more exercise and things like that. But, you know, obviously Rob had, you know, a lifelong achievement that he wanted to get to. But how do us non-wrestlers, us normal people, get to achieving our goals? Well, I spoke to life coach to the stars, Sangeeta Devan, and she had some advice for us. So let's check that out.
I think, Jamie, first thing, sometimes we set ourselves goals which are too big, you know, and I'm not talking about the dreams that are too big. I'm talking about the goals, because, you know, first step is about deciding what you want. So, you know, if you say if you want to lose weight, so you need to decide how much weight you want to lose it. And where people get disheartened, because they maybe set up these goals which are, you know, too big. So what I always say to people is chunk it down. You know, don't say I want to lose 10 kgs weight in a month or 2 months, saying, okay, if I want to do that, how much do I need to lose in this week? And what does it mean? Does it mean daily exercise, half an hour? Does that mean an hour and a half? So when we chunk it down, it becomes a little bit more, we can absorb it a bit more, we can do it. Because if I set up myself a goal, if I haven't done any exercise, say I want to do a 2-hour exercise every day, I'm going to let myself down because my body might, you know, not agree with it. My body might not be happy with it. So we need to decide what we want. And the very important thing is to make sure you have to chunk it down, break it in a smaller chunks that you can do it. You know, that's one of those things I always suggest.
So opening up the discussion now, guys, so Noni and David, what are the things that you use if you need to get back on the wagon? You know, you've had a few weeks of slightly less good blood sugar control, let's say. What do you use to make yourself work a bit better?
I'm lucky that I hardly get bad sugars, so because of my camp, I'm in auto mode and stuff like that, so it's completely different to, I guess, what other people are used to. But the other week my pump failed and they just sent me a replacement and then everything was back to normalish. So yeah, I don't have to worry about my diabetes that much. So it just does what it wants to do. I'm very lucky. I know I'm very lucky. But yeah,
So the tech's doing the work for you. But of course there's other thing, like there's things that you can do to make the tech work easier for you. You know, if you were really unhealthy, the tech would have a really tough job with getting you to be in a range. So obviously you're doing something to make the tech, you know, to make the algorithms work easier for you. You must be.
I'm very unhealthy. I've got high cholesterol and everything. So yeah, it just does everything. So it's okay, really easy. It's just simple.
There's an ad for Medtronic right there. They better be clipping that up and using that in all their Facebook ads in the future. But Noni, what do you use? What do you use if you've had a, let's talk about maybe coming out of the Christmas period and you want to get into better blood sugar control in January. How do you do it? And you're muted yourself, so you just need to click unmute. Oh, Zoom, how much we love you. No, there you go. We should be able to hear you now. Yeah. So, Noni, how do you keep to your goals?
I talked to Khaled Keshta, actually. I've messaged him and he's been helping me. And we talked about intermittent fasting. And so I've started doing that and I really, really like it. It works for me. As a general rule, today I had a hypo. So I had to eat before my usual time. But I think you've talked about this before, Jamie, and it's basically you fast for 16 hours and then you eat for the rest of the time. So I start eating around 4 o'clock, 4 p.m. and finish eating by 10 p.m. And yeah, it seems to keep my sugar levels actually very well balanced as well. I sometimes have to do a correction in the afternoon because my sugars can start shooting up. But yeah, I think that helps. It helps me quite a lot.
So it's a tool. It's a prism to look through to help you negotiate the world and your type 1 diabetes. But we're going to be talking more on making goals, keeping to them and smashing them a little bit later on in the show. But now it's time for the latest news in the type 1 world. Monash University researchers have uncovered the barrier to beta cell regeneration that could pave the way for improved treatments for diabetes and diseases that involve organ and tissue damage. This process happens through DNA methylation, a biological process where chemicals are written on DNA and modify the way the gene functions. Currently, replacing the damaged beta cells in mass diabetic patients consists of whole pancreas or islet transplantation. Although efficient, these therapies face the shortage of organ donors, together with the associated side effects of immunosuppressive drugs. Type 1 diabetes didn't make the cut for the coronavirus vaccine in Massachusetts, United States, in their phase 2 rollout, despite newer research showing that people with type 1 face an increased risk of hospitalization and death comparable to those with type 2. Massachusetts bases its list of eligible medical comorbidities on the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention's list of underlying conditions for which adults are at an increased risk of severe illness should they contract COVID-19. That group includes type 2 diabetes, but type 1 diabetes is listed as a condition that only might put people at a greater risk for severe outcomes, leading it to being left off the list in Massachusetts, even as New York and Tennessee both prioritized both types of diabetes. About 1 in 10 Americans have diabetes, while type 2 is far more common. The approximately 10% of diabetics with type 1 account for roughly 1.6 million people. There's been a new rumour recently around the upcoming Apple Watch Series 7 release and how it may include a blood glucose monitor. In February 2017, in an interview, Apple CEO Tim Cook said that he'd been wearing a blood glucose monitor and the result was that he'd been much more aware of his diet and how his body reacted to the food he was eating, enabling him to keep his blood sugar more even. If only it was that easy. The watch won't be released until the autumn, so many more rumours are no doubtedly to come, but I, for one, will be definitely interested in upgrading my Apple Watch from a Series 1 to a Series 7 if it includes such a sensor. That's the latest news in the Type 1 world. Back to the podcast. So that is the latest news in the Type 1 world. After the break, we will be talking about the vaccine. Noni's had it. David has got his appointment for very, very soon. So we'll get into all of that right after the break. Hi guys, me again. Just wanted to remind you of today's sponsor, My Diabetes, who have an absolutely massive offer for you guys. Just head to www.mydiabetes.diet/all-4-1. And if you use the coupon code all4-1, that's ALL4ONE, then you'll get 75% off the 6-month plan. All of those links will be in the description or the show notes. So if you're interested, please check them out. And there's some other ways to support the show if you'd like. You can go to patreon.com/JamieLowTV for as little as £1 there. You can get access to exclusive content and be in direct daily communication with me. Or if you fancy supporting a different way, then you can go to shop.spreadshirt.co.uk/broken-pancreas-gang, where you can get your hands on t-shirts, hoodies, mugs, and other stuff with designs that I made myself. This funky little freestyle Libra design is my favorite right now, and if you fancy helping me out, I'd be more than grateful. It's gonna help me make better and more frequent content after all. There's also a discount on the store right now on the whole shop, and I'll keep that running as long as I'm allowed to. Hello and welcome back to the All For One podcast. My name's Jamie Lowe and I'm joined today by Noni Dougal, David Stevens and Robert Higginson. So today on the show, it's all about getting them goals. Still to come, we'll hear from, for the first time today actually, we're gonna hear some music from a type 1 diabetic artist, Archie Norris. Really good stuff on the way. We've got more too from Sangeeta Dhawan, and if you wanna get involved in today's conversation, here's how to get in touch. You can email contact all41@gmail.com. You can tweet me or at all41tweets. You can Instagram me at all41insta, or you can find me on Facebook too at all41online. Get in touch with discussion suggestions or put yourself forward if you want to be on the show too. But before all of that, we're going to talk about the vaccine. So Noni, you've had it. David is going to have it. Rob, how do you feel about the coronavirus vaccine, because any minute now we should be receiving our invites?
Yeah, hopefully. I'm excited to get it. I want to get it really, because my job at the moment, I'm working with the public. I just want it out of the way and done, really. Mm-hmm. I can try and get on with my life as much as normal as I can at the moment. So
mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. And I think from a couple of weeks ago, all four of my grandparents have been vaccinated, or at least their first dose of the vaccine. So I'm incredibly grateful. Still, fingers crossed for my invite soon. But Noni, as the only person on the panel so far who's received their vaccination, tell us mm-hmm. more. Tell us all about it.
Okay, it was very well organised. It was it was very well organised. I went in and I had my vaccination. They give you a little card to take home. They ask you to wait for 15 minutes if you're driving, just to make sure that you're okay. But anyway, I went home and I was absolutely fine all day. However, I woke up the next day and I did have really all the side effects that you could get. I had a pounding headache and I got up and walked downstairs and I felt very dizzy and just not right at all. I was clutching my stairs. My knees ached so much, honestly. I was finding it quite difficult to walk. So obviously I went back to bed and I took my temperature and I had a temperature, it actually went up to 39 degrees. So I took paracetamol and I fell asleep very quickly. And I woke up drenched in cold sweat with a pounding head still, just feeling shocking. So I took extra steroids as well because I've got adrenal insufficiency and I did feel like I might be going into adrenal crisis as well. So, yeah, that was it, really. I had to stay in bed all day and take paracetamol every few hours. It did, unfortunately, affect my sugar levels as well. My sugar levels mm-hmm. went up to 20s and it stayed like that for a couple of days. However,
just want to qualify really quickly what you're saying, Noni, just in case we're scaring people away. You do suffer with a lot of other things other than type 1 diabetes,
don't
you? So Noni's experience is potentially quite unique, but you're fine now, Noni. So tell us about how brief that whole experience was.
It was very brief. Literally, by the evening, my headache was clearing and my temperature was back to normal and I felt a lot better. The mm-hmm. next day, I slept really well that night. The next day, I woke up and no headache. I was absolutely fine, mm-hmm. fine, and just really grateful to be over it, to have had it done. And actually, apparently, it's quite good if you do have side effects in a way, because it shows that your immune system is working. So, and also another way to look at it is, this was just a microdose of COVID, of live COVID vaccine. So how lucky am I to have had just a microdose of it? And now I've had the vaccination. Hopefully I'm vaccinated against getting full-blown coronavirus. Mm-hmm. So I'm very grateful.
Yeah, I think it's just important to qualify that the point of a vaccine is to create an immune response. So whether you've had an mRNA vaccine or one of the other ones, some form of response is normal. A lot of people won't even feel any significant side effects of their first dose or even their second, but some people will, like Noni has said and as David has seen. But that shouldn't put you off, because I'm sure, Rob, you're dying to get back in the ring, and a vaccine is going to just make that process more quicker for you.
Yeah, exactly.
And do you know when that might happen?
I don't know. I keep having loads of people turn around and say, oh, well, you must be, hearing something soon. But as of yet, I haven't heard anything. I think last I heard, they were doing people over 50, I think, with underlying mm-hmm. health issues. So I'm not sure. I'm just ready to go whenever, really.
Yeah, well, we are definitely in the current category. So it's 16 to 65 with an underlying health condition. So if you haven't received an invite yet, like me, just sit patiently. I'm sure your local health centre is doing the best they can to get in touch with everyone. And some places will be getting through their vaccination quota slower than other places. So just sit tight. I'm sure it's on the way. Don't be annoying your GP receptionist, because we know they're not the nicest at the best of times. We just heard from Rob, someone who achieved their dreams with type 1 diabetes in the career that they absolutely wanted to do from a child. Another person who's made that happen is someone who I met recently, Archie Norris, who is a artist. He writes a song at least a day. That's what he told me anyway. And he lives with type 1 diabetes. So I wanted to introduce you to him right here on the All For One podcast.
Thank you. country.
So my name's Archie Norris. I'm a 21-year-old singer-songwriter from Brighton. I've been doing music since I was 9 years old. Yeah, that's all I really do. That's all I truly sort of care about. And I'm type 1 diabetic. I think it's taught me a lot of life lessons and sort of just, yeah, made me who I am today. And I think that just sort of reflects in what I write about and what I do. And yeah, everything sort of links in with the diabetes, to be fair. So my style of music is a mixture of sort of pop, R&B, I don't know, I enjoy every sort of style and genre, so I sort of jump between things. So I do some indie stuff, I do a mixture of things, but I'd say it's mainly pop. So the song Come Through, that's the latest song I've released on Spotify and things like that. That's just a song about, you know, sort of getting out of a relationship and not wanting to take things too seriously afterwards, because, you know, just trying to live life just on your own and just see what happens. But yeah, is still today. Every day is a challenge. So since I was diagnosed when I was 12, it sort of changed my life, you know, from that day forward, and it's never been the same since. But I think it's taught me a lot, and like I said, it's made me who I am today. It is, every day is like a different challenge, and no day is the same. But it's just trying to sort of go with the flow and just try as hard as you can to keep things under control and just sort of stay positive about things, because you can't be perfect. Sometimes I write about sort of struggles of like day-to-day stuff, but I sort of I don't normally write about specifically, you know, put the word diabetes in a song. But one of my biggest inspirations growing up was I used to love the Jonas Brothers, and I still do. And because Nick Jonas was diabetic, that was always like a big thing for me, like, okay, he can do it. And I remember he wrote a song called A Little Bit Longer, and that was about his diabetes. And I remember before I knew anything about diabetes, I sort of used to listen to that, and I don't know, it all came full circle when I got it.
And that song that you just heard there was Come Through by Archie Norris. You can find him all over the internet, so do check his stuff out. He is great. Now, quickly, just back to the vaccine. So, Noni, do you know when you'll get your second dose yet? Is that clear to you?
Unfortunately, no. I don't know yet. I've just got to, like you, I've got to wait patiently until I'm called.
And David, I'm sure it's the same. Is it working slightly different in Wales? Because I know there's some differences between the devolved governments.
Yes, so supposedly Wales are a lot like behind England. Our press are saying that we're in front, but we're not. But I was naughty and I rang my GP surgery to see what was going on, and they just booked me in. So.
Oh, fair enough. Okay, well, I mean, I wouldn't necessarily
recommend it, because not every
thousands of people that listen to this go and ring their GP, but I mean, if you want to, I'm not going to stop you. So getting a vaccine is definitely a goal of many of us now. Be interested to hear how you feel about the upcoming coronavirus vaccine. Maybe you've had it, maybe you're worried about it. Get in touch and tell me your thoughts. You can email contact all41@gmail.com. you can tweet me at All For One Tweets, or at Jamie Lowe TV, or you can get me on Instagram at All For One Insta, Jamie Lowe TV there also, or on Facebook, we are at All For One Online. Right, so goal getters, what have we learned so far? We've learned that we need to break our goals down into smaller goals in order to achieve a bigger one. But let's check in back with Sangeeta for another top tip from her.
You know, our emotions play such an important role in achieving whatever we want to do, you know. And the thing is, if you set up a goal for yourself for a week and you complete that goal, you know, what will happen is your emotions are going to be so joyful. You know, you will feel good about achieving that goal, and you start counting your win. I always say that is, you know, give yourself a little reward. You know, when you have achieved a little goal, give yourself a pat on the back or say, okay, I want to go out and celebrate that with my friends, with my family, or just buy something, you know, whichever way you want to be rewarded. So when you reward yourself, it's like a little child, you know, you say, oh, well done for doing that. That child will want to please you more, you know, so you will have more energy to say, okay, I can do this. I have done that and I'm going to take the next step. So just because you'll count your wins and you'll reward yourself, that'll give you so much more energy to move forward and say, okay, what is the next step? And before you know it, you will actually reach your goal without sitting there and thinking too much, because that's one of the things we go into our future and sometimes we get disappointed, you know? So keep it real, keep it to each day or each week, and then make sure that you count your wins no matter how small or big they are.
And that brings us to the end of today's show. Be sure to check out our sponsors. They will be all linked in the description or the show notes below. If you check them out, it helps me to create more podcasts and more videos like this. If you fancy getting your own I'm Greater Than My Highs and Lows jumper, t-shirt, vest, bag, makeup bag, they put it on all sorts of stuff, then do check out my Teespring and my Spreadshirt account. Or if you want to support me in a different way, head on over to my Patreon, where you can access all of my content a few days early too. That's patreon.com/JamieLowTV. But that's all from me today. I want to thank my panel. Thank you to Rob, to Noni, and to David. David, I hope your vaccine goes fantastic and we'll all join you too. But thank you so much to you at home for listening. It really helps when you download the podcast and share it around. And if you wanted to leave a review, that'd be really helpful too. Just wherever you're listening to it, just give us 5 stars and write some text and tell us how you feel about the podcast. That'd be great. I'm going to be picking out some of my favorite reviews soon, and I'll be sending out free all for one goodies, so do that if you're interested in all of that. But that's all from us, from me, from David, from Noni, and from Rob. We'll see you next time on the All For One podcast. Bye-bye.
Thank you.